You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
No stranger to Freedom 106.5 FM. Let's talk about the prison situation again, especially since our SOE detainees have been released. So we have Mr. Gerard Gordon, Prison Services Association President. Good afternoon to you, sir. What's going on?
Yeah, good afternoon, Bees. Good afternoon to the listeners.
All right, man. So, SOE done, detainees freed. What is the situation now?
Well, we have, of course, a number of detainees would have been released. But we still have those who were incarcerated for various charges.
Right.
They continue to be held because those matters have not been determined by the court.
Yeah. Now, when those were detainees, they were put down in the Tetron, the special thing, that the place was already overpopulated, even though they put them down there.
Where was overpopulated? No, Tetron?
Not Tetron, but where they came from now, was it?
Oh, yeah. The fact is the entire prison service is not as it should be.
Yeah.
The failing infrastructure. I mean, I've said these things over and over again.
I don't know why men doesn't want to go in prison, you know why.
Yeah. It really escapes me. You know, so we continue to face those challenges moving forward. And we could only hope and remain hopeful that the changes that we require will certainly come.
So they're taking them and they're putting them right back where they were before, right?
Yeah, haven't seen that just as yet. Some people still remain at Tetron.
Oh, okay. All right. So what will be the situation when all of them do come? Why does some of them remain and some of them are not?
Well, to be quite honest, I know that the minister has the authority to deem any suitable place a prison.
Okay.
And that is what he did. And once you have a place deemed a prison, that is where prison officers will work and inmates of their various classifications could be held. As to why are they continuing that current situation, I can't speak to that. I think that is way above my pay grade.
Right.
You know, but my concern will certainly be to the officers and the staff that has to engage that particular environment.
All right. And what about this chicken pox thing we're hearing about in the prison?
That continues to engage certainly the attention of the prison administration and the officers. I think the last number I had was 83 or so inmates.
Wow.
At one time, we had about 7 officers. I don't have the up-to-date, meaning today's
numbers. But are they medically being taken care of?
Yeah, certainly they would have been isolated, quarantined at specific areas.
Yeah.
And, you know, we are trying our best to keep a handle on that particular situation.
Right, but of course, under that, they wouldn't be allowed visitors. Would they be allowed visitors?
No. Okay. In fact, they would have instituted a sort of 21-day shutdown. Well, let me say rollback on a number of things in their attempt to manage the numbers. Because one would understand prison, everybody together, the place overcrowded. We even found that some inmates were hiding their condition.
Okay.
And they could do that because, I mean, if a man really skillful, he could say, yes, boss, I see a hand, but I don't have to see his face.
No idea.
And so we were having some challenges where that was concerned.
Seeing that our Minister of Defense is he will be the line minister for the prisons, right?
No, well, no. Homeland Security.
Oh, it's Homeland Security. Okay,
yes.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, since Defense was a lawyer, I mean, our judiciary is in such a mess. He's a man should want to know that,
Yes, that judiciary in a mess. You know, people doesn't talk about it. And some people tend to believe it's a personal attack, which it is not. But the judiciary, like a lot of our institutions in Trinidad and Tobago, continue to operate in a less than effective and efficient manner.
Yeah.
And sadly, we continue to be saddled with this whole issue of justice being delayed. And we know that once justice is delayed, certainly it is denied.
Right. Wow. So, I mean, where does that put, the prison service and in the prisons? I mean, because like we say, men in remand for years and years. You know?
Yeah, and if you just look at I would say that the judiciary has failed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that simply based on the numbers. You cannot tell me that no one is sitting and saying, okay, well, do we need more magistrates? Do we need more judges? How are we going to address the current backlog? I know they would have instituted certain things, MSI, maximum sentence indicators, plea bargaining to a particular degree.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, that is not for everyone. And you continue to have this situation where about 3/4 of the prison population is remanded individuals.
Hmm.
And now what does that say?
Yeah.
And somebody might say, well, they at least they lock up. But the thing about it is that as long as we continue to have individuals who are deemed innocent, or remember the state has to prove them guilty,
right,
or they have to prove their innocence. And as long as there is this backlog, we will continue to have a lot of challenges when you talk about how we manage justice, mm-hmm, and how we manage crime in Trinidad and Tobago.
Do you think we need another prison?
Yes.
Mm.
And it's not just another prison. One has to understand that where we are, we in 2026 now. When you look internationally where the best practice is, and you look at how prisons are constructed and what they facilitate,
mm-hmm,
and it's really about facilitating the rehabilitation and reintegration of the offender. But to get to that point, the person has to be found guilty. So we are in a situation where 3/4 of the population is certainly on remand,
mm-hmm,
or pre-trial, as we say, and nothing could happen with them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we continue to shoot ourselves in the foot. On one instance, we are denying citizens justice. Mm-hmm. And on the other end, we are preventing people from being able to be exposed to programs and rehabilitative initiatives that could see them come back out into society and contribute in a positive way.
Right. So every time there's a SOE, they seem to just be, you know, we picking up people, we putting them in prison, then thing. We letting them out, I mean, and they come, they sue the state, they get some money. I mean, what is, we just going wrong in circles here?
Yeah, and you know, when you talk about the effectiveness, and you know, somehow everything seems to be so politically charged.
Mm-hmm.
And when and what it has been doing, it has been preventing us from really looking at what the real issues are.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is that any government looking at our crime situation is going to want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Fact.
Right.
Whether it doesn't matter who you support or who you like, mm-hmm, crime affects each and every one of us.
Yeah.
The question is, what is the best thing to do?
Mm-hmm.
Is where the question comes in.
Yeah.
So we are going this route of the SOE, but then what we have is I don't want to say artificial, but we are placed into this false sense of security because you hear them talking about a reduction in murders, a reduction in this, and a reduction of in that.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, why can't that exist outside of an SOE? You know, what sort of policing are we putting in place, and how are we addressing, you know, some of these deep-seated issues as it relates to crime, money laundering, white-collar crime? There's a whole host of things going on every day.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow you don't get a sense that we truly have a handle on the situation.
So who do we lay? I mean, I'd like to say lay blame, but who ain't doing the work? Somebody letting something pass? Who is this? The police?
If we go down that road, it's everybody's fault.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people don't like to look at it that way. But with rights comes responsibilities. And like the politician, and like the police service, like even the prison service, the fact of the matter is that all of us have a role to play. The thing is, I remember somebody saying it recently, that for what currently exists in Trinidad to continue as it is that you must have political and police involvement in ensuring that crime continues. And that involvement doesn't have to be direct. It certainly could be indirect. where I decide I'm going to turn a blind eye. I'm not going to get involved. Because certainly the state, or and we look at prison officers, we have the state in court for almost 10 years on a matter of safety of prison officers. And when the state fails to protect those who have to do the protecting, then you know that we are truly in a bad place.
Somebody's asking here, what is the total capacity of prisoners in all detention facilities? We hear some parliamentarians claiming 8,000 and 9,000 persons were detained in past and present SOEs.
8,000 and 9,000?
Yeah, no. I mean, they're probably saying that is the population, probably, but that's
No, the population is not even close to that.
Oh, okay.
The population is probably... It's just shy of probably 4,000, okay. If I'm being, you know, but those numbers, no. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so we're talking about, so when, in terms of these detainees then, so they're coming back, I mean, so what is to be...
The thing about it, you know, one of the things that we have continued to speak about is the fact that there's minimum rules for how you keep incarcerated individuals. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they speak about is maintenance of someone's, of the incarcerated individual's dignity. And so you do not have them exposed to conditions which would undermine same. Because we always have this saying that jail or being in prison is not for you to be punished, but it is as a punishment, that separation from your family and whatnot. And what we're seeing is that
it doesn't seem like that working. No, because men going in jail and they're getting, you know, wrong.
No, but it's not that jail nice. The fact of the matter is that we are not in a position and have not been in a position to really treat with the offender, because as we know, all of this recidivism is not really coming from that small number of convicted individuals. You have people who are remanded, they go out, they probably get bail, they commit a next crime. We are a 3/4 of the prison population. So let's say about 2,500 people we are unable to address their criminal genetic factors or why it is they offended in the first place and be able to treat with that.
Mm. So you have any, I mean, there's, so what you're saying, there's really no, well, this guy used to talk Wayne Chance, the late Wayne Chance, restorative justice?
Cannot exist in the current situation.
And what, the current situation? So what can we do to change the current situation?
We need to get our act together as a nation.
Mm.
The judiciary, along with the police, along with the DPP's office, if we are arresting people, then we must have evidence. And if we have evidence, then they must be able to be prosecuted. They must also be given that opportunity to fight for their freedom before the courts. But when you have somebody, and you started to mention that earlier, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, you have somebody remanded. That person is not guilty of anything.
Mm.
They have been held, they have been charged, but that is not the beginning and end all of it.
That person will have a lawyer, right?
Yes.
And that lawyer will be going to court, in and out of court for the 5 years.
In and out.
Right? And getting paid throughout that 5 years, right?
Yep.
Oh.
I ain't going down that road.
But that is the only thing I could say. Like, there's a business.
Well, it is.
We're being
but
in remand is a business.
They say crime is a business.
Mm.
And there are some people who are benefiting, some more than others, some more direct than others, but it's a fact.
Okay, well, I mean, we're spinning top and more here because, I mean, it will continue to happen once some people, you know, are benefiting from it. Right? It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah, boy.
The thing is that, you know, true change has to come with a change in thinking.
Mm.
And we're not seeing that change in thinking. People still believe in this old time thing, lock them up, throw away the key, as if this is not a living, breathing organism, as if this is not a citizen of Trinidad and Tobago.
Well, if a man kill your family and think, or you kill your child or your wife, or your mother, your father, whatever, you ain't want to hear about, you know, you don't want to hear about he restoring and coming out and all kind of thing.
But the fact of the matter is, whether we want to hear it or not, a big part of this whole restorative thing is how we address the issues with victims of crime. And we have not even begun to start to go down that particular route when we're dealing with how do we administer justice in Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm.
Because the state becomes a virtual complainant and you, the one who lost your family member or yourself was a victim of crime, you somehow become a secondary complainant in the matter. And, you know, that too is a huge issue that we have to treat with.
What about hanging? You think if they really do the hanging, it will prevent some people from going into prison in the first place, especially for heinous crimes?
It may, my whole thing about that whole thing of capital punishment, hanging, is that it's on the books. Just like we have rules as it to when somebody commits a crime and the sentence they are given, hanging is a sentence. Carry out the sentence. That is what I'll say about that.
Yeah, but when they say somebody getting hard labor, is there hard labor in Trinidad and Tobago?
No.
There's no hard labor.
No. I'm sorry to burst your bubble there, please. Yeah, but
prisoner's five-star hotel, man.
It's a five-star hotel.
Is that a motel?
A 1.5. But certainly not nowhere five-star. The thing about it is that there are certain discussions that we need to have as a nation that are not happening, and we have to start to really do some introspection. But nobody wants to have those difficult conversations, because then it speaks about what are your responsibilities, or what you have added, or what you could take away from the situation. You see, everybody wants to sit and point and say, well, it's the police, well, it's the judiciary, well, it's the politician, well, it's the prison officer, well, it's this one and that one and the other. But the fact of the matter, it's all of us. And
but many people have tried it. Sometimes a man might come out. That guy, at the time I met a fella who come out of prison. He's someone on Park Street, a fella named Voices, right? He said, baseball, come out of prison, boy. And until they give him a little $20, and I say, Voices, I don't believe in, you know, giving a man a fish, you know, teach a man how to fish. Come on the radio. I brought him on the station. I was working at him. I said, come on the radio, you tell your story and thing, and I'm sure somebody will give you a work. So he come on the radio. Tell this story, talk, people cry, all kind of thing, offer him all kind of job, work, thing. He leave. Next 2 weeks, somebody calling me and say, Bass, you said to get Voices $50. People calling me to say, but Bass, Voices come and say to give him $20. Me, you know, I said to give him $20. And I don't know if he get locked up or thing or whatever, but that's what he went and do after the while, when people offer to give him a job.
Because, and we, you see, that is surface, we dealing with that surface, what you see. But the fact of the matter is that while he was incarcerated, if there was no opportunity provided for him to be rehabilitated, I don't know if Voices was on drugs and stuff, and so, you know, drug abuse is a serious thing. They have people on that for years, decades.
But you must know if you wouldn't know if a man on drugs in the prison.
But knowing is not enough. The question is, even if you do know, what can you truly do to impact that particular individual? And is the sentencing lining up with, let's say, the treatment plan? So, okay, I know Voices is a drug addict. He come in for petty larceny or some premier larceny or something, so he get a 3 months or 4 months. But does the program that we could initiate in prison, could we complete it? And if not, who on the outside is going to take over the mantle to bring him to a point where we could get him off the drugs? That is the sort of thing that we are not discussing. You see, we expect at I often say prison like we have a magic door. And once the inmate come in the door, he disappears. Nobody want to hear, see, smell, nothing. The only time we care is when he walk back out the magic door. And that is insufficient.
All right, man. Good afternoon, Bass. If jail was easy living, the SOE could become a viable business by incarcerating the same people each time, and they sue the state and win big money over and over. That's what's happening. Let's take some calls at 625-2257, 627-3223. We have Mr. Gordon here from the prisons. Of course, to us, a service association, right? We're talking about, of course, different things in the prisons, and along with some of these inmates that will be, you know, going back. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Comrade Bass and Officer GG.
Yeah, good day, sir.
Yes. Officer GG, in Holland, prisons are being closed down now.
Yeah.
You should find out why they're being closed down. Prison officers are being sent home.
I know why.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Brother JJ, Officer JJ,
mm-hmm.
your men, the death penalty is on the books here, right?
The?
Hanging on the death penalty.
Yeah, it's on
the books.
It's on the books.
But it's very expensive. The average cost to execute someone in Trinidad and Tobago when they have to go through all the appeals. I'm not going to even factor in inflation. I've given you a figure about 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago.
Yes.
It's about $5 million plus to execute an individual. If you look at the other side of that, you lock a man away for 50 years at $50,000 a year, that's $2.5 million. So the state saves $2.5 million.
But
after 50 years.
But do we save or do we delay?
No. I mean, the system is...
because currently we have a number of individuals who are being released some of them were on death row. They were commuted to life. They have been having hearings, and a number of them, they have not made 50 years.
Yes, but what they made, 25, 30
years, and they are out.
Okay, do you know some of them, when they were asked to release, probably they didn't want to leave because they come and fit back in society. You know, when they're inside it again, 3 square meals. So, incarcerated people for wrongdoing is the best way to go. I mean, you do a crime, we're going to lock you away.
Yeah, but my point is, caller, locking away is not enough. Because simply the fact is, if we look at the percentage of individuals who are going to attract a sentence of 50 years, that is not the norm. What you have is people being incarcerated while their freedom is being denied, while their matter is still before the courts for a protracted period of time. And the question we have to ask ourselves, is it sufficient that you simply be an alleged murderer, alleged robber, for you to attract that? And then if you are convicted and you are serving your sentence, we just lock you up? That is insufficient.
All right, let's take another call. Hello, good afternoon. All right, lost that one. 625-2257-627-3223. Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, Bass, I got cut off.
Oh, gosh,
one
come
more
on,
thing.
Man.
Quick, cut.
Somebody has a chance.
Officer JJ,
yes.
Listen to me carefully. There's an issue with threats on the life of your fellow officers, right?
Yes.
What is the real reason behind that?
There's many reasons.
Okay. Could one of them be that maybe they collaborated with certain inmates a couple of times and
I'm cutting you off there now.
What I will say to that is that is not the truth. If you go back and you look at all of the murders, most of them, it was because the officer did his job the way it is supposed to be done. Some of these officers were not even in work. Some people were on vacation, and gunmen came and met them. What was the reason for Jones being shot in his head while holding his daughter's hand, waiting for a taxi? Come, we had to get more serious than that.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, Bass, good afternoon, Curate here, boy. Good afternoon to your guests.
Yeah, good afternoon, Curate.
I want to ask a question.
Sure.
I'm noticing in jurisprudence that remand or time spent on remand is being, commingled.
Yes.
With the sentence.
Yes. They consider it time served.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I can't disagree with it because it's time served.
Correct.
Essentially.
Yes.
But is time... Okay. For instance, if when the whole process is finished, the remand, the case, the sentence, the verdict and everything, the verdict comes out that the person is not guilty.
Mm-hmm. I was waiting for you to get to that. I know that is where you was going.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
the state of such a person.
Correct.
Because his life is over, essentially.
Correct. Because
he has to start all over, if he could start all over at all.
And we have had those cases, and what you see more times than not, remember, this individual would have been on remand for a decade, decade and a half.
Yes, that's the category of individual I'm talking about.
Right. Then you win your matter.
Yeah.
And, of course, there is no discussion about some sort of monetary award. If you have to do that, you have to then now sue the state.
Yeah, yeah.
How many of them have the resources to do that? So what happens is that they are just happy to be out, but that time could never, ever, ever come
and
back.
And the state essentially says, consider yourself lucky. So
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so go ahead.
Count yourself as lucky.
We did you a favor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you posed money or a dollar amount as being, you know, something that would assuage the situation on behalf of the prisoner. I feel as though this person's life has been taken from them.
Yeah.
And I don't believe any amount of money.
Yeah, but then the question is, caller, you know, we could talk all around the issue, but what do you think should happen in a case like that?
I think that before it gets to that point, I think a program of restorative justice.
So what you're saying is that we should not have people on remand for 15 years and 18 years.
Correct.
What we should have is that, because in some jurisdictions, they actually have time limits on the state, you know. When you talk about non-indictable matters, the state usually has probably about 1 year.
And you're straying into another area there and all to it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the person is guilty,
yes,
and the maximum sentence is 15 years, and he's 10 years, and he's already been on remand for 15 years.
Yep.
What is that?
What is that? So the thing about it, okay. Okay, thanks, Kira.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy. A lot of questions there, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So, I mean, what is the way for some of you take some other calls and we'll talk about the way forward. Hello, good afternoon. I lost that one there. Yeah, 625-2257, 627-3223. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon.
And good afternoon to fellow callers. There is no argument that, unfortunately, as a country, we have not invested over the years in developing prison system, and not just the infrastructure, mm-hmm. but our valiant and brave officers who seem to be on our behalf, because you're really doing it on behalf of the wider population.
Correct.
And while, yes, with every group, even in the corporate sector from where I come, you will find errant persons who break the laws and facilitate crime, I still believe that the majority of your officers, our officers, are good people and they're trying their best.
Yeah.
And what you were just alluding to is the fact that, putting aside the need for infrastructural development and investment in prison and rehabilitation and service and the development and remuneration of the prison's officers, the fact is that because of a breakdown in our police service detection rate and the judiciary, the prison system and by extension the prisoners on remand and those who have been convicted, everybody is feeling the pressure, and we have allowed the country to go below substandard human dignity and human rights issues. And of course, victims and other persons sometimes adopt a hardline approach.
Yes.
Why do people care about these other people? Because they have chosen to break the law. But then it underscores the complexity of the conversation, because we all know that there are certain root causes to crime that are a cycle, and people engage in crime for all kinds of different reasons.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it will be better for everybody if we can look at fixing the education system, the corporate structure to provide better jobs and opportunities. But if we do fix the judiciary and parts of the police service, then there will be an easing up in the prison system, and some of these matters will be moot, and then we will start to see a better opportunity for people, and resources can be used differently, especially as we have limited resources. I just want to say thank you to you and your officers for the work that you all do, and there are citizens out there who will join with you to advocate for a better use of resources all around.
Thank you.
And eventually investment in the infrastructure and officers' remuneration and protection. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Maybe if you had a son and you would tell him, well, he wanted, say, Daddy, I want to be a prison officer, but what you tell him?
Me asking that?
Yeah.
I don't tell my son no already.
No way.
You know, but the caller just now,
mm-hmm.
you know, she touched on a number of things. But the one thing I want to, you know, really agree with her, and I don't want it to escape us all, is that thing about the victims and the victim approaching or adopting a hard line.
Mm-hmm.
The reason the victim adopts a hard line is because they never receive justice. And you see, there's a cycle there.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you, something happens to you, you're a victim of crime, and the police operate with a certain level of alacrity, the investigations are done quickly, we get the evidence together, the person is arrested, brought before the court,
mm-hmm.
and within the shortest possible time,
yeah.
justice is done, you would see a rollback of that hard line, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because instead of it being, lock up all of them, because you remember, I don't know who assaulted me, who robbed me, who come in, who do that home invasion, who stole my car. I don't know, because nobody wasn't arrested. I wasn't called. If you understand what I'm saying.
Right, right.
So part of that hard line is really a result of the ineffectiveness and inefficiency of the justice system.
All right, but what do you call us? And I call us a he, by the way. What corporate? Watch my, I think out of the box, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if we get corporate Trinidad and Tobago involved in the prison, right? And some way, this might sound funny, you might laugh, but if you have a digicel, a digicel in the prison, like corporate Trinidad and Tobago involved
mm-hmm.
in the prison,
mm-hmm.
right? And a KFC or something. And maybe we give prisoners incentives, and after they come out of prison, maybe they could work somewhere in a KFC or thing or somewhere or thing or some kind of thing.
Well, in somebody, listen, you're saying that there, and you don't know how serious that is.
Mm-hmm.
That is part of what I would like to call your aftercare.
Right.
And you're preparing the person for reentry.
Mm-hmm.
So the person would have served a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
They would have been part, or we would have had a treatment plan for them. Remember, mm-hmm. we're talking about the convict here, not the remand.
Yeah.
And he's approaching probably, well, based on the sentence, let's say the last third mm-hmm. of his sentence.
Right.
He could then be allowed to say, listen, we believe that you have learned X or learned Y,
mm-hmm.
and we have corporate Trinidad and Tobago partnering so that he could go out and work. Now, that money that he is earning there also, besides some of it coming back to him, it could be used to go towards the victims of crime.
Yeah.
You understand? And he's learning a skill, and he's being allowed to contribute in some positive manner
mm-hmm.
back to the same society from which he took. And I where you see that operate and being managed,
mm-hmm.
I think the results are marvelous, what they are able to do. And I don't know when we will become mature enough to understand that we have to start treating prison, the prison service, as a partner in how we make our society better. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, definitely. Well, boy, a lot of things need to be done in the prison. Let's take another call. Hello, good afternoon.
Bass, good afternoon to you, and good afternoon to your guests.
Good afternoon.
I just want to ask a guest, in case of the model that we have for the mm-hmm. prison service in Trinidad,
mm-hmm.
do you all have a model outside of here that we could probably emulate
yeah.
and put it into place? Because for the time being, Bass have always had prison officers in the program, and there's a consistent, more or less, of way it's always negative. You even tell your son, don't join the prison service.
Yeah.
What can we do different
don't.
Yeah.
in relation to a model that you use? Because in my faith,
Yeah.
I know a lot of the prison service is contracted and not really used as public service. And the other thing, you spoke about the DPP and about four different things. That collectively means reform.
Yes, it does.
And it's something that's been plaguing our mind for the longest while. Do you have a collaboration with the security service just so you all come together in the space of holding people who I believe should have been relieved? Like, a lot of people should be relieved over the emergency period.
Mm-hmm.
Do you all have a collective responsibility as the service per se?
No.
To move to get the reform that's needed for better results in the defense services.
What else?
Let's know fair.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's something that I have said in all my years being in the association, and that is our justice system is with people operating in silos. People are so protective of their space. Questions we ask, you know, why should we have somebody being arrested?
Mm-hmm.
The police has a number for them. The judiciary has a case file number. The prison has a number that they would assign to the individual. Why? Why don't we have one universal alphanumeric code that is assigned to that one individual? And so it's easy to move them along. That collaboration could only occur, and the removing of those walls when certain sectors of the justice system in Trinidad and Tobago sees the prison, even the police, as equal partners in the whole dispensation of justice. And until that happens, and until we're willing to have those sort of discussions, I'm not seeing the changes occurring as we want.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you talk about other jurisdictions and what they are doing. The Canadian model is a model that we would have embarked upon. But you see, you need to have government buy-in, ministerial buy-in. People need to understand that when we talk about simple things as infrastructural design, when we talk about how the officers should be remunerated for the job that they do, when you talk about how do we classify inmates, what do we do upon reception, there's a whole science behind it. And unfortunately for us, we are so busy attempting to out all these small fires all the time that we are in a zone where we truly are unable to move forward in the way that we should, because we don't generate any revenue. People know that.
Aye.
We have to ask always. And
how can the prison generate revenue?
Oh, so many ways.
Well, name some ways.
So the prison industry could prove to be very lucrative. In some jurisdictions, you have where the government has agreed to take furniture. All the furniture in all the government offices in certain jurisdictions is provided by the prison.
Right.
They do a lot of repairs to vehicles from ministries, from military, but they use it as an opportunity to teach.
Right, okay.
So what will happen is that some of the officers would have been taught, and you could now form part of a syllabus. So while we're doing the repairs, or we're building the furniture, or we're sewing and producing uniforms for other parts of the justice system, what will happen is that automatically there's some savings there.
Right.
And it's a win-win, because the inmate who takes part in that process, at the end of it, he is certified to be able to do X, Y, or the other, but it reduces a lot of the cost on the state when they use prison labor as an avenue to realize some great savings. Even the agricultural aspect of it, we have the school feeding program.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we not, as a prison, utilizing the lands and the excess that we produce? So we produce to use, reducing our bill, and then we produce excess that we could then push back out into the hospitals and the school feeding program. So there is a lot of opportunity.
Nice one. I know when we talk about prisons, we always talk about the male population. Are things just as bad? What about the female side?
Female side has always been small.
Mm-hmm.
So they float 90-something to 100-something, basically.
Yeah.
What we have been having, though, is the young female juveniles are proven to be a bit of a...
Rising.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They a special challenge where they are concerned. The sort of things that they do, and they really have those female officers under some pressure. Staffing is also an issue that we are experiencing. And you know,
because if you say you're hearing where your son to go in there, I doubt a female jump out of thoughts to want to become a female prisons officer. No.
Yeah, the thing about it, the nothing is wrong with the vocation. It's nothing wrong with being a prison officer.
Yeah, just the system.
It's everything else that surrounds it is the exposure. I mean, when you go back, we look at some of the murders, Raynard Paris. He probably was in the job like 8 months, and he was kidnapped and murdered. He was working at the remand, and not even working at the remand very long. So we have a lot of instances that, you know, really, that we really and truly need to address. But I'm saying we cannot address them on our own. And so we have to really activate, remove the walls and barriers between all of these various agencies, and we should really and truly be operating as one cohesive unit if we are truly to serve the people of Trinidad and Tobago the way that they deserve to be served.
Nice, man. 70 minutes after 2 o'clock, somebody sent me a whole news excerpt about what's happening in Guyana. In Guyana, the Mazaruni prison farm showing how agriculture is helping to change lives behind the walls. Inmates gathered the pak choi, cucumber, okra, five finger as part of the Guyana Prison Service's ongoing rehabilitation efforts. So look at that.
Right there.
Right there, boy.
Right
so
there.
We could follow that model. Let me like to follow. Follow the right model. Now. Last call here. Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, talking to on your radio. Yeah.
Yeah, you're on your the guest said he even want his son to join the prison service. Can he hear a reason? Why?
We ain't listening to the show. All the reasons you want to. Okay, well.
He didn't hear.
Things bad in the prison. Okay, well, sorry, sir. Things bad in the prison. That's that all you hear. But you say that so long. All right, go on.
One more thing to ask him.
Because, yes.
I noticed they have a little farming outside with some good produce.
Yeah.
What they do with that produce? The okra, bodies.
Yeah, they use that. They use that within the prison.
In the prison.
The prison, yeah. The prisoners and stuff, yeah.
To cook in the prison, right? A voice note.
Base, hope all's well with you, partner. Well, I love the question that Junior asked about a model for the prison system. You know, my question to the gentleman there is, can the prisoners be used to build the new prison that this government is planning to build somewhere in the Southland, I'm thinking, or the East, I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, Tamana.
You know. Yeah. And to Junior, partner, the government was doing something about Zozos. How come your party and you disagreed with Zozo's?
All right. Now the politics. Politics is what having the situation today. Oh, the ketchup and the mustard, Lord have mercy. Right, so, final words there, boy, Mr. Gordon, boy.
Final words. Again, the Trinidad and Tobago Prison Service, prison officers, we do an a necessary job on behalf of the people of Trinidad and Tobago. And what we crave more than anything else is the active, positive involvement of the state and our brothers and sister services in this justice system in Trinidad and Tobago. We should be working a lot closer, and there should be a more even distribution of the resources. I just want to speak just quickly. We would have had a situation where an officer passed away at the Golden Grove prison. And he's not the first, and we officers are saying it may not be the last. But when you look at simple things within the prison service that we could do to make it more friendly for the staff to work, I always say that stress continues to plague every officer within that environment, And we are seeing where, as a result of that, the mortality rate, most prison officers do not see their 60th birthday. It is a fact.
Hmm.
And so we need to do better, more than just serving the people, but certainly these officers and their families also need to be served. And that could be served through some massive improvements in the environment in which they work.
Yeah, man, well, Mr. Gordon, boy, I wish you all the best, boy. Just like, see me, we keep taking the prison officers for granted, you know?
Yeah.
It's sad, it's sad, it's sad. And that's an important part of the whole, you know, if you look at the thing holistically, what happens behind the walls, it really is just as important and imperative as to what happens outside
the walls,
know?
Correct.
Yes, I want to tell the gentleman that there is the Diwali program.
Mm-hmm.
It was held, it was beautiful.
A lot
of Diwali program.
Amazing.
Mm, okay.
We get a lot of support from Corporate Trinidad and Tobago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They really come out, they really support influencers. They really come out, and those guys, those officers who manage that program, they do an excellent job. Mr. Dookie, who passed away,
okay,
in fact, was part of that committee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, keep up the good work, sir.
Sure.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.